Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
We continue in our series on Mega Grace. Our message, The Finished Work, I'm going to say part two. The Finished Work, part two. Let me start by making a few statements, and we'll segue into the scripture in Galatians chapter 3. The finished work. The last words that Jesus spoke on the cross were, "It is finished." The work that he came to do was completed at his death. A portion of it was completed at his death. He took upon himself the sin of mankind. All right? If you read the word, it declares that he became sin. Now, what are we talking about? I want to distinguish something here. Two different types of sin. There's a sin that starts with a capital S, S-I-N. And then there are sins that start with a small s. Okay? Jesus became sin, the sin with the capital S, but he also made provision for the sin with the small s. Amen. Amen. But the sin with the capital S, if I can say it this way, was the sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden. Amen. Amen. That brought all of the suffering on humanity that we see today is a result of their sin. And the word says, through one man's disobedience, death, destruction, sickness, and disease came upon mankind. But through one man's obedience, the word says that many have been justified. So he became sin, and at Calvary he said, "It is finished." He became the supreme sacrifice. Remember, the Old Testament, under the law, sacrifices were given every year for atonement. If we take it all the way back into Genesis, after the first man and woman sinned, their own work was to sow fig leaves, because once they sinned, their eyes were no longer seeing spiritually. They saw naturally, and they saw they were naked. So immediately they felt uncovered and ashamed. So they sowed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Even though before that they were naked, but they were not ashamed. You know, it's interesting. If you take a baby, a little baby, and you see it a lot in Africa. You don't see it a lot too much here. You see it in Hispanic nations down in Central America, South America, that, and in Africa. Little children run around, we call it butt naked. And they don't have any shame because they're innocent. I like to think, in a sense, that's how Adam and Eve were, in that they had no shame. But the moment they became self-aware, you know, when a little girl, let's say, I'm going to use a little girl, when a little girl grows up to be a certain age, she get a little pimple, a blackhead, you know, she don't want to go to school. Because they're going to talk about her, you know. I'm just using it now. She feels shame. Because she's of an age where she's very self-aware. But Jesus did something at Calvary that shifted everything. And that's what we want to take a look at today, the finished work. If we truly understand and embrace the finished work, it will revolutionize how we think, how we see ourselves, how we see God, how we see circumstances. We cannot, once we understand the finished work, we cannot live in defeat. Hello? Depression will lose its little place with you. Amen. It's hard for you to become depressed when you know the work is finished already. It's hard to be discouraged, you know, for any length of time when you know you're already blessed. Amen. That's why I said this morning in the beginning that there are times we should act. You know, you know, sometimes you can get into a funk. Your mind, if you're not careful, can get into a funk. Sometimes you just need to get out. Hello? Sometimes too cooped up. Sometimes you're in one place too long and your mind can get foggy. But you need to break out of that. Hello? Break out of that and act on something. That's why they call exercising that. They call it recreation. You know, somebody laid up in the hospital for a long time, they'll tell you, you know, I got to get out of here. Walk me down the hall, anything, you know. I just got to get out of this room, cooped up. But recreation, what is recreation? Recreation, the word means to recreate. That's what recreation is about. You know, it'll relieve stress. It'll do things in your cells. It does. I mean, physically, mentally, even spiritually. It'll get you back on the right perspective. Hello? But at Calvary, back to my initial thought, Jesus said, it is finished. The sin was paid for. Now man had no longer to remain separated from God. At Calvary, the veil of the temple wherein they worshiped, where the high priest would go behind the veil was torn. That was a 22-inch veil. Thick curtain, and it was, I forget how many feet high, but it was tall, and it was torn from the top to the bottom when Jesus died. In other words, the other side of that veil was where the presence of God would come. Literally, they called it the Shekinah glory, and it would come, and if the priest that would go in to offer the sacrifice there, if there was anything in his life that was not right, he wore a bell around his ankle. He wore bells, tassels around the bottom of his robe. And they literally would tie a rope around one of his ankles so that when he went in behind the veil, if he were not right, sin cannot stand in God's presence. There are certain things that, and it's not that God is hateful or God is a legalist or anything. No, it's just light. Darkness and light cannot occupy the same space. And so what would happen to an occasional priest, he would go in, and because of the condition of his heart, they wouldn't hear any bells. They had to drag him on out, and then they had to, you know, chuck him, there's number five this year. Literally, read the history of this. Literally, that high priest that would go into the presence of God, the other priest would keep him up all night. He wouldn't sleep. And they would be quoting and speaking and confessing verses of the Torah. That was the Old Testament. Jesus, when he died, he said, something is finished. All the requirements of the Old Covenant and the law have been met. So I want to start you afresh and anew with a new covenant. Tell the person beside you, we are recipients of a new covenant. See, the old covenant was law. It was works. You had to work at it to qualify. They had to work at it. Every year they had to offer sacrifices, and just the right sacrifices on just the right day. And there were laws and regulations and rules. And guess what? No one could live up to it fully. So every year a sacrifice had to be offered for atonement. But I got good news today, because when Jesus died, he became the supreme sacrifice. In other words, he was the end of sacrifices. Tell somebody, no more sacrifices. You don't even have to do penance. Once you have repented, you don't have to do penance to try to appease God. Jesus already paid the price. As a matter of fact, some of us need to stop trying to fight the devil. Amen. Jesus already gave him a black eye, put him in a headlock, threw him down, put him in a submission hold, had him tap out. It's all over. Come on, he already defeated me. He's like, it's over. The match is over. You know where the warfare lies is in your mind, not out there. Out there is dark. If you're caught up in out there, you'll never find your way. But if you win the warfare in your mind and you cast down those carnal thoughts and those thoughts that try to draw you away, those imaginations that try to draw you away from the reality of God's promises, if you win that battle, you'll find out that you win every battle in life. Everything begins to align itself with God's word and with what God promised you. All right? So much happened at Calvary. So much happened when Jesus died. That's why Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, Paul said, I have died. Nevertheless, I live, but not me. It's Christ that lives in me. Now, let's look at this finished work. We know by now that God never starts, has never started anything without having already finished it. Do you understand that? Do you know that? I mean, do you believe that? Really, it's something that has to be, it's a belief system that has to be established in your mind. What you are facing or desiring or, you know, wanting, let me say, right now in real time, whatever it is, whatever you focus your attention toward that you are believing God for, you have to know in your heart. You have to believe and receive in your heart that it's already done. Now, I may not walk a straight line getting there. See, that's where people get messed up. Because, see, it may be I may go this way, and God may have me go back this way, and now I look like it's never going to happen. But God said, no, just follow me. Just follow me. You don't know what I'm doing over there. You just believe what I told you, because many times it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But in your heart, you got to know that it's already happened. That's where you fight the good fight of faith. When circumstances say it's not going to happen, no, you come back with your faith that's in your heart and say, not only is it going to happen, it's already happened. It's already mine. Tell somebody, God has prepared a way for you. You may not know the way, but God has prepared a way for you. I'm telling you, God has prepared a way for you. I've been fortunate to walk with him almost 40 years. And you know what? In hindsight, I've seen where I've missed the mark, but God has never failed. I've seen where I've missed him, but it's not like he wasn't there. It's not like he hadn't made a provision. It's just I wasn't hearing it, or I wasn't seeing it. I wasn't mature enough to handle it. But God has always made a way. And you rest assured today, God will always make a way.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in the Mega Great Series.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.